of him.
Amen.
How many believe that if you lift him up today, he'll still draw people to him?
Amen.
And we're trusting in that because that's the gospel. Let's let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. Just love the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and just to sense his presence around us and in us and through us and to us. And so we just know we're a blessed people. Just thank the Lord for his goodness to us. We want to be faithful and use the time that he's appointed for us and just to use it efficiently, I guess, or I don't know if I'd say efficiently, but just to be diligent. So we thank him for this time. I want to remind everyone that Brother Ben Beard is going to be with us here. Be 2 weeks from yesterday and today. So that'll be June 10th and 11th. And then a couple of days ago, I was thinking that hadn't had Brother Ben Norrod over here for a while, and I kind of thought about that. And the next morning, he texted me. And he said, "Brother Tony," he said, "how about some 4th of July meetings?" And I said, "Okay." So that would be July 1st and 2nd. Amen. So let's just be praying about that. Look forward to that. I'm all about independence, okay? Independence from the devil, right? That's what it's really all about. So we certainly want to look forward in that direction. Maybe just put that in your prayer and in underneath that category, just great independence to be delivered to God's people. And so I just think that would be wonderful. I want to just commit that time to him in prayer. Also, we're going to be, like Brother Daniel said, we're going to be hiking today. And I just want to praise God officially and publicly for him giving me my feet back so I can go hiking today too.
Amen.
Amen. So praise God. I said, "Lord willing, I'm not going to miss it." You know, I'm not that young, but I'm not that old either. So I still have a little bit in me to want to get out and do some of the things young people do. I just have to be a little more careful about how to do it. So how I do it. But anyway, so we thank the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of James, chapter 1. Won't be long reading in scriptures, but I do have a quote or two that's a rather lengthy reading. So we'll be doing that just a little bit later. James chapter 1, and we'll also be reading from Romans chapter 8. And these are scriptures that we're very familiar with. You know, it should be that a Christian in this day and hour, especially, that no matter what scripture we read, it'd be something we're pretty familiar with. You know what I mean? But there are some scriptures that seem to get used quite a bit. And this one seems to be one of them. James chapter 1, verse 17, 18 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29. Again, she will have it on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Let's just bow our hearts to him as we come before him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, Lord, we're so thankful for this time. We're thankful for your grace that has been upon our lives, Lord, just to move us to this hour and move us to the condition that we are in our walk with you, and to put a desire in our hearts, Lord, for you and for greater things that you would commit to us. We just ask, God, today as we come before you in this service, that you would just grant to us the liberty, Lord, in your presence to just surrender all and be able to not hinder in any way, Lord, but to let your Holy Spirit move and touch our hearts and just kind of go in the direction, whatever you want, Lord. We're your subjects. We're here before you, and ask God that you just speak to our hearts and just say whatever you want and do what you want, Lord. We surrender it to you, and ask God that you would just allow the things that transpire just to drop down into our hearts and keep us and lead us and guide us in the days ahead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I mean, he's thankful for the message.
Amen.
Brother, I know Brother Daniel is, because he was expressing that to me back there a little while ago. And it's true. You know, sometimes we get very, as people, we get desensitized, I guess you could say. Things become common to us. And I pray, you know, Lord, don't let that be the case. And I know sometimes it is, but don't let that be the case, that the message becomes common to us, that these tremendous blessings that the Lord has given us to be able to look into the things and know and have in our experience the things that we have, not to let those become common to us where they don't mean a lot to us anymore.
Right.
I pray that every word, every line, every jot, every tittle, that it continues to mean a whole lot to us and everything that it should. And so we thank God for giving us a great message. And it is the same message that started out in the garden, and it come through all the ages through Moses and the different one. And it's just further down the line now. And so we thank God for that. And this message in this hour has come to reveal to us what God has already committed to us.
Right.
And I believe that. He's already committed things to us.
Yes.
And so we certainly want to know. I want to know what God's given me. I want to know what I can have in His presence that He's given. So we thank God for that. Read here in the Scriptures where it says that every good gift and every perfect gift. And so that means there are good gifts, and then there are gifts that aren't good, right? So every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. And so we know Satan wants to give you gifts, and Satan wants to do things in your life or whatever. But we must always remember that if it's something good, it comes from God. Because the world wants to hand you all kinds of stuff and make you think it's good. But there's always a catch to it. You know, I was talking to a guy this week, and I told him, I said, listen, you know, if there's somewhere along the way Satan has to deny the word, he has to.
That's right.
I said, because if he didn't deny some portion of the word, then he would be the word. He'd be our brother, see? And I was telling this guy at work this. I said, you know, so Satan's got to deviate somewhere from the word, because he's not our Lord and he isn't the word. So he has to. So, you know, when the world wants to give you something, they want to give you some sort of gift and might ever paint it up to be so wonderful, you know, just remember there's a backside to that billboard sign that he's showing you. There's something, if it's not from the Word and it's not from God, there's a negative side to it somewhere that's out to get you. And that's kind of the way it is. But so these, if it's a good gift, it comes from God and God alone. In other words, it has to line up with the Word, right? Has to, or else it's not from God. And so it says that every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. And now that tells you, you know, that he is a father and he has offspring, and so his offspring are lights, and we know the Scriptures say that God is light. So, and so many other Scriptures, that we are children of light. So, he is the Father of lights. So his children have ability to displace darkness. Now I said the message come to tell us what has been committed to us. And they don't tell you this kind of stuff out there in the world, but you are a child of light, and you are able to displace darkness just like he is able to, because he is light and you are children of light. So he's the Father of lights, and it says that in him there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. It's kind of interesting, you know, that we have day and night here on the earth, but it's not because the sun changes, because it doesn't. I know it has eruptions and that kind of things, but you know, the sun just hangs out there constantly giving off light and billions of watts of energy, or however much it is, and it's only the earth that turns that causes the daytime and nighttime cycles in our lives. And so the Scriptures talk about God having no variableness. He hangs right there, and he's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shadow of turning with him, right? So if whatever he has committed to us, then there's no variableness in what he's committed to us. Right? If he has commanded a blessing to us, then there's no variableness in that. Now, you might have variableness. You might change from day to day. And some days you might experience and feel his blessing greater one day than you do another day. But his blessings and what he's commanded to you is right there, hanging there all the time, all the same, every day. It doesn't change. And so he goes on to say that he begat us. He begat us. So that tells you who his children are, right? He begat us, right? And so it was his will. As the scripture said in St. John chapter 1, that we're not born of the flesh or the will of man, right? But by the will of God. We're here today, what we are, because God begat us and sent us here. It's by his will. And so it says, he begat us by the word of truth. Now, you know his word is true. Cannot fail. Heaven and earth pass away, but my word will never pass away. And he begat us by that perfect word.
Yeah.
Right? Your coming forth was you were sent forth by the perfect word of truth. Right? And it sent forth, and I would say, you know, just me, the way I put two and two together, is that if it was the word of truth that sent us forth, then when we come forth because he sent us here, then there's something about us that's truth that he sent. Now, we are identified in this world with all kinds of things that's not truth, and you look in the mirror, and I get another gray hair all the time. I look in there, and more gray hairs and all that sort of stuff. That's not truth. Right? That's not truth. But there's something about us that he put in us. There's something about us that's real.
Yeah, right.
And it's real because he sent it. Right. And it's not what Satan wants to make you think you are, but it's what God said you are. And what he said you are was sent by the word of truth. So it's real and it'll never disappear. It can't go away from you. You'll always have it because he gave it to you. Okay, so I hope everybody's on the track that I'm speaking of here. So it says that he did this, sent us by his word. So there's something real about us. And it said that he did this that we could be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so if it's first fruits, that means there's more to come. Right? And him speaking that to the early church, that there would be more to come through the ages. And here we are at the end. So there's a a fruit that comes forth. And James is saying that God arranged this and sent us forth, and he's the father of lights and so forth. And that we would be a kind of first fruits. So in other words, we would belong to this harvest that he's speaking of, and of which there was, in that day was the first fruits, but there's more to come, and here we are at the end, and I think we're at the end of harvest, but we are the same fruit, same batch that he's talking about. I believe that same family of God that he's speaking of. And when we get over into Romans chapter 8, we find out that Romans said that we are predestinated, that those he foreknew, he did predestinate. And we are predestinated to something. We're not just predestinated to whatever. Predestination is a literal, purposeful act. So that when he would predestinate, he didn't say, well, I predestinate Brother Daniel. What to? Well, I don't know. It's whatever he wants to be. And so that's not what he said. See, so when he predestinated him, you predestinated you to something that he had purposed in his mind. And that thing that we're purposed to be, as it said in there in Romans chapter 8, we predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. So when God came into this world, and he was the word made flesh, and Jesus Christ came into the world, he was the son of God, he was the logos of God, he was that word that came out from God. Remember what I said a while ago, is that God sent us here. We didn't come of our own choice. He sent us here. And Jesus said the same thing. I didn't come here of my own. He sent me. I'm here to do his will. Because when the word goes out of your mouth, once it leaves your mouth, it's fixed. Right? It's fixed word. And so he's saying, the scripture's saying here that we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. And his son was the word made flesh, and a word that cannot change, cannot fail, and God sent it forth as spoken, and by that word he created everything that was, and that word became flesh, and carried out the will of God to perfection and never failed in one part, not anywhere. And so that was him. That was Jesus Christ, the Son. And this says that we are to be, we're predestinated to be conformed to that image. So what he was, what he came for, what he was here to do, we're to be conformed to that same image. And we're predestinated, a deliberate act of God, we are predestinated to be that. So what's going to hinder it? The stooped shoulders is not going to hinder it. The failures that we make from day to day is not going to hinder it. But he predestinated us to be conformed to that image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Right? That Jesus Christ, being that Son of God coming forth, now we're going to be, we're predestinated to be conformed to that same image, and so that when we are conformed to that same image, that makes us children of the same family, so he becomes the firstborn of many brethren. See? So we all become one great family of God. And so there's a family trait. There's a family trait that, you know, when you say family trait, it's something that carries on through all the family. You see it. I see they may have a certain nose or a certain chin or something like that, and you can see it all the way through. My wife and I were somewhere the other day. I think it was Brahms, and she mentioned something about a guy I used to work with, Larry Spiller. And I guess this was his granddaughter. I don't remember. But anyway, she said, yeah, that's Larry. It's got to be Larry's, you know. And she turned her face sideways, and he just had very distinct facial features. And as soon as she turned, I see it. Oh, yeah, that's Larry's all right. Because she carried that trait of that family. And so we're conformed to be like him, which makes us his brethren. He's the firstborn of many brethren. And we're like him, and so we have a common trait. And that common trait is that we are like him, that we are the Word made flesh, sent forth from God to accomplish and do something he sent us to do and cannot fail.
Right.
That purpose cannot fail. And remember, Scripture said, he that's born of God doth not commit sin, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now that's not talking about the guy that you see in the mirror. That's talking about the thing that God sent forth that never has sinned and never will sin. And that's the thing we want to identify. That's what we want to find. And that's what we want to hear God committing to us and telling us that we are a people that are in this category right here. We are predestinated to be conformed to that image. And I want to find that image in my life, and that's what I want to associate with. I don't want to associate with anything else. I want to find that, find the way it works. I want to step into that image, and I want to walk and declare it just exactly the way he says. I'm predestinated to declare it, and I want to push everything else to the side.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. And I think you do too. And in that mode, being the Word made flesh, Brother Ram come along and said this. He said, you know, the Word always corrects the error.
That's right.
Right? Now think about this. Because I know I receive all kinds of opposition for taking the stand that I stand. You know, I know that. And I can't help that necessarily. I don't want to be in opposition. But I have to identify with the truth that he's given. And so when he says the Word corrects the error, then the further this world goes off into chaos, the more we're going to stick out like a sore thumb. The brighter we're going to shine, the darker it gets. So it's inevitable that we as believers are going to rub people the wrong way, not that we want to. We're going to do everything we can to live peaceably with all men. But when you stand for the gospel uncompromised, you're going to have opposition. It's just all there is to it. And so, because why? Because something in us is present wants to correct the error that they're running in excess to. Right? That's the way it works. So we just have to do it. We just have to stand for the word of truth. And if we don't do it, then we're not living up to what God sent us here to do. We find out in nature, when you look out at nature, that God made everything to have a nature and have a gift to it. He did. He made everything. And so I could just pick out whatever. I don't know. I hadn't premeditated what I would say about this. But let's just say, you know, God created squirrels. And he's created squirrels to live in the trees. to climb around and jump from limb to limb, and they make their nest and they get down in the trees, and they do come to the ground sometime to get something to eat or run from tree to tree. But primarily, a squirrel's place is in the trees. And actually, by him being in the trees, that's his protection. Because I guarantee you, if you took a squirrel and you changed him to where he could no longer climb in the trees like he does and make his nest in the trees and so forth, he would become extinct pretty quick. Yeah. Unless you equipped him with something to protect him elsewhere, wherever you put him. So, something to glean from that is that he was created for that, to be there. He was given all the gifts of the claws and the things needed. He was given everything to be what a squirrel is and what we know a squirrel to be. He was put up there and gifted sufficiently. And if by operating in that gift and being what God called him to be, that's his very protection. In other words, because if he didn't, he'd wind up, you know, like I said, they'd be extinct pretty quick. Anytime you find a species somewhere and they're thriving, it's because they have what it takes to survive in that environment.
Right.
Or else they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
Right? So, he's predestinated with a nature and gifts. He's got the gifts to climb in the trees and jump from limb to limb and so forth. And he's got the teeth to chew on the things that he does and all that. He's gifted with those abilities to do that, and he's given a nature to want to be there.
That's right.
It wouldn't do any good for him to be gifted to be in the trees and have a nature to want to be on the ground.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So God made him with a nature, and he gifted him to match that nature so that where God said he'd be, he can live and prosper and grow and multiply and not be defeated. As long as he's there, doing what God called him to do with the gifts that God gave him. And so it's that way with every animal, with every creature, the entire world, the entire universe. It's right where it is. I was telling my aunt this morning that if science ever figured out a way to do it, they'd come up with an idea and say, you know what? These planets in our solar system, they're just not in the right spot. We need to move them to a different spot. Mm-hmm. You know they would. Because they can't leave stuff alone.
That's right.
And that's because there's something in them of the devil that wants to change what God established to begin with. That's why they do it.
That's right.
That's why they can't leave things alone. That's why they can't leave you alone.
That's right.
See? Because there's something in them that's anointing them to change and change everything that God established. That's what they want to do. And so every animal has its nature. Every creature has its nature, has its gifts and its ability. A squirrel can't live in the bottom of the ocean. And neither can a fish live in the top of a tree. So everything is gifted, and the gifts that they have, then God has given them a nature to desire to live and express in that environment they're gifted to be in. Okay? That's the way God does it. Now, God's not the author of confusion. He doesn't, like I said, he didn't put him a nature, a gifts to be in a treetop and give him a nature to want to be down in the mud hole or something like that. See, God's not the author of confusion. God will gift and he will give a desire to be what he wants you to be. And so if he said in his scriptures, we done read it, where we're predestinated to be conformed to that image of his son, and we are the children of lights, right? Then we are predestinated to that position, then God would not predestinate us to that position without supplying gifts from God that would allow us to operate in that condition.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't give us the ability to be called to that and have gifts to operate and then make us desire something else.
Yeah.
He gives us a desire for the very things he promised us.
Right.
So if you're a Christian, If you're a real Christian and God lives down inside you, you've got a desire to be like Christ.
Yeah.
And furthermore, God has gifted you to be that way. You may not know it yet, but he has given you the ability to jump right out there in that environment of being like Christ And you can stand there, and that's the place where you'll not be defeated. That's where your protection is. And if you're not there, now you're vulnerable. Right? So that's what he's done. He gives a nature and a gift to all of them that matches. And without being able to express that, you're miserable. If you could take that squirrel and you could leave those gifts of being able to jump from tree to tree and leave that desire in him to want to be there, and then just cage him up on the ground or make him live somewhere on the side of a beach or something like that, that squirrel would be miserable. Because he's not being allowed to express what he's called of God to do. And it may sound funny, but I trust that you can relate this back to the Christian experience. That God has called us to be like Christ. And if we're not expressing those gifts and operating in that realm, there should be something in you longing to be there.
Yeah.
So it comes to mind where Brother Branham said, he was saying thirst. He's talking about thirst. You know that you're given a thirst. It's natural for you to be thirsty, but you have this something down inside that when you need it, it gives you a thirst for it. And so he said, now, you can tell what's in a man just by examining the thirst that he has.
Right?
So, you know, we can have a desire for things. I can have a desire for a new truck or a new rifle or whatever it might be. We have desires, but I don't really think of that as being a longing. I don't long for a new truck or a new rifle, but I long to be like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, that longing to me, not just the gospel according to Brother Tony, longing, when it talks about that, it's reserved to the things that matter. You can have a longing to be with your wife if you're out on the mission field and you miss your family. You can have a longing to be home. You can feel homesick. It's something now that means something, matters something. It's not this frivolous stuff that we all get caught up in and the world gets caught. But it's the genuine things, and you have a longing, a deep thirst. And as Brother Ram said, it was a painful desire. Thirst is. It's become painful.
Yeah.
I gotta be there. I gotta be with my family. I gotta be like Christ. A painful desire to what? To express Him.
Yeah.
To express the gifts of God and to let those gifts, let them wing soaring around through the truths of the Word of God, and let all that work to bring to pass the Word before you as a testimony.
Yeah.
That's the desire of a Christian. If you don't have that desire, there's something wrong.
Right.
We want to manifest Jesus Christ. And so, I do believe we as Christians, that's what we were called to. But I also know that this world is designed to make that longing, to hush it, that craving, that desire, just to, you know, where a man ought to want to be with his wife, it's something gets in the way and he don't even care whether he's with his family or not. You know, that's the way it is. And when it's like that, when you see something like that, when it's then you know the devil's in the mix somewhere. You know something's perverted somewhere when these things that should be naturally there that God put in us are not there. They're perverted. They're shadowed over. There's a candle that's to be showing like, you know, but now some bushel been put over so you can't see it, you know.
Right.
God don't do that, but Satan does.
Yeah.
And so, if we're not expressing those things that He made us to be, then we're miserable.
That's right.
And until you come to the revelation and understanding how this new birth works and how this longing for Christ and how all this works, if you don't know this, if you don't have... then you might not even realize, you might not know, you'd be unhappy and don't even know why.
Right.
And you'll be seeking all kinds of other stuff, thinking it's going to make you happy, and it don't.
Yeah.
And you might run for a week in the joys of some natural something, and then next thing you know, you're not happy again.
Right.
It's not good enough. You got to get something greater, something better. Yeah. And it only lasts for a little while. What is happening? You're chasing a mirage. You're trying to satisfy a holy thirst of God that can only come from God, try to satisfy it with all kinds of things of the world. Just like that, God forgive me, but that song, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's right. When you look in the wrong places, you're going to get the wrong thing. You got to look for the right things in the right places. So, like the scripture said, you're not going to go to a filthy cesspool to drink, and I'm using my own words, but to find a good fresh drink of water. You want a good fresh drink of water, you got to go to the place where it comes from.
Amen.
So if I want a nice, healthy fruit to eat on, I'm not going to go to some hideous something that man's created or whatever. I'm going to go to a tree that I know puts forth good fruit.
Amen.
That's where I'll go. And so these are, you know, the gospel, regardless of whatever, however we place it, it's all simple. Even a bushman over in Africa that doesn't know right hand from left can understand, because God speaks through nature to us. And if it don't work, change it. Right? But if it does work, don't change it. We have that saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Because a lot of guys will have something other. You know, back when I was working at a printing company, and they have a machine be working fine, and somebody go, you know what? And they change something thinking they can improve it even better, and they break it. You know, and then guess what they do? They call maintenance. Mr. Maintenance guy, come over here and tell me what's wrong with this thing. Well, what did you do? Well, I didn't do nothing. You had to do something because it wasn't working, you know. So you don't, you know, you want to go to the places where things are right. That's the sources you want to go to. And if there's something that's not getting the job done, then you got to change it. And so you can tell what a man is by looking at the thirst that he has. What is he longing or wanting or desiring? And I believe that predestinated Christians, though they might find a place in their life where they're going after chasing after worldly things, and they think a new rifle is going to make them happy, and it don't. Or a new job's going to make him happy. Well, when I get the new job, I'll be fine. It never works that way, because you're chasing the wrong thing. If you're a Christian, I believe you're ordained to finally come to the spot where you realize, you know what, this is not where happiness is and all these things, but it's in Christ Jesus. Because let me tell you something. As the scripture said, what good is it going to do you to gain the whole world if you lose your own soul? And if you could gain the entire world, where you could finally, absolutely own the entire planet, to where every government, every person that was underneath your domain, you have to give it all up when the breath leaves your body. So what good would it do? We'd be better off to put all that to the side and seek after the one thing that cannot be taken from us. That's why I said they can. Don't fear the guy that can kill your body only. But what you want to have a fearful, a holy reverence to is the one who can also not only just destroy your body, but cast your soul into hell. That's the one you want to have reverence to. And so that means that when someone that comes along and all they can do is kill your body, and they want to tell you you've got to live in a way that's going to cause you to lose your soul, you tell them to get lost, even if they have to do something to you. You stay with the gospel. You stay with that which will keep you. And so, that man in the engine room, as Brother Bram said, he's the guy that controls the ship. It doesn't matter. You might, out here, like a predestinated child of God there, go out and maybe don't realize it, and they go off after chasing after the world, like many of us did, you know, because we're not born again yet. And that's the appearance of the ship. This ship is sailing off out there into the world to do whatever. But if there's a predestinated guy down in the engine room, just as soon as he gets the command, that ship's going to turn. Right? Because it's the guy in the engine room that controls the thing is what matters. And this message has come along to help you and I understand there's a difference between the outward appearance and what it looks like and the decision. There's something else that overrides all that, that's down in the engine room, that's predestinated from God. And that's where God wants to get you to. He wants to get you to where you identify with that more than anything else. And so, everything's created to have a nature, gifted to be there. And so, in saying all that, I've come to the conclusion that we as as at least as believers, that we as human beings, even humans, we are designed to be creators. We're to be creators. And we know Brother Bram talked about this. I'll probably quote some stuff here and there. But we are creators in our own way. So remember, man is made in his image. And so we express attributes and things like he does. And he's the only true creator, right? He's the only one that can create. We know that. But we as his offspring have that nature in us. And eventually, we come to the place where we create. That's right. Because we have that power laying within us. So I'll read some quotes here. And this is where they're kind of lengthy quotes, but you just pray for me, bear with me, and I'll try to express it to where it comes out correct. About this, being creators, Brother Bram said we're little messiahs. And so in the sermon called Messiah, the Messiah, Brother Bram says, you see what Messiah is. Messiah is the kingdom of God, anointed ones, them that's anointed with the same spirit he was anointed with. And one said to him one day, well, my son sat on the right hand and on the left hand. And he said, can you drink of the cup that I can drink? And can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And she said, it was a mother asking that. She said, yea. And he said, you will. But the kingdom that's set on the left and on the right is not mine to give. Brother Bram said, so it showed that we can drink the same cup of persecution. And we can be called with Beelzebub or whatever it might be and still be baptized with the same spirit that he's baptized with. So he's telling you that they can persecute you, they can call you whatever, you can go through all that, and you can still have the same anointing Christ had on you, because that's what's exactly why they're going to persecute you, because you do. So he said, if he was called Messiah, which he was, because he was the anointed one with that Holy Spirit, and any church that is anointed with the same Holy Spirit is a Messiah, a smaller God. Now I'm quoting from him. Any church that's anointed with the same Holy Spirit is a Messiah, a little smaller God. And someday, when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that will manifest his power in every dimension that it's supposed to be in. This is Brother Bram's desire. He said, I desire that before the resurrection, that God will get his hands on a group of people. What's he saying? If you've got the same anointing he had, you're a little Messiah, you're a little God, and he ties that to saying that I trust and hope or pray or whatever, that before the resurrection comes, that God will get his hands on a little group of people, obviously who will be anointed with that same spirit, and they'll go forth and manifest the power of God in every dimension that it's supposed to be, not just some partiality thing. Right? I believe that God has that for the bride of Christ before body change. So what were you looking forward to? Brother Bram, in a sermon called Ever Present Water on the Rock, he says, when we die, our soul goes up yonder under the altar of God, where I was privileged to see a few mornings ago, as you know, the vision where the Bible speaks of, and said, our spirits will go to God who gave it, and our bodies shall return to the dust of the earth. But someday, when the scripture is fulfilled, our spirits will be released from God, and we will pick up that soul, and the soul pick up the body, and the power, and the power that will raise us up is right in us now. Right now. When it comes time for our body change, right now, when the word of God is fulfilled, that time comes. He said, that power is in us right now. We are now in heavenly places. We are now in the power of the resurrection. And if there wasn't a law to that, in other words, we have that power resident in us, but it's under a law. A law that's keeping us from coming forth in that strength. He said, if there wasn't a law to that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world out here and go live a private life on it. You have that, the power in you to do it. If you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you got the power to do it, and God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will make you. You could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah. And there you are. That's what power is in the church now. But it's controlled by a law. And that law is not the keeping of a bunch of commandments. It's the law of faith. And Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. Now think about this. Brother Bam says, each one of you, if you've got that same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, each one of you, you've got an omnipotent God in you. Each one of you have a portion that if there wasn't something keeping you from doing it, you could take that that's in you and you could speak a world into existence and you could go live on that world. You could speak your planet off out there and go live on it by yourself. He said, live there privately. So he says, you've got that in you, but it's being constrained. And he said, it's controlled by law, and that law is faith. So faith is what can release that that's in you. That's what he's saying. And that's why Jesus said, all things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe. What is he saying there? That if you can believe, you've got that power in you. That all things can happen if you can believe. So the key to that is that you've got it in you. No question about it. You've got it in you if you're born again.
Right?
Right? And faith can unlock that awesome, omnipotent power that's in you. Faith is what allows you to do this or to do that, to pray the prayer of faith or speak the world in existence. You know why your faith don't let you speak a world in existence? Because it's not in the Word for you to do that. There's nothing in the Word that says, go create you a planet. And that's why your faith doesn't do that, because that is control. It's a way for that power of that omnipotent God that's in you to be released, is through that channel of faith that you don't just necessarily open yourself. It's, you know, it's hard to explain. You don't want to how it works with faith. But so he says, all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, now listen to this sentence. Whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. So you've got the power within you to do this. And as you go from day to day, if all of a sudden something strikes you and God causes you to believe a certain thing, that is His way of allowing you to take that experience and produce that thing that you have faith for. Because it's governed by the law of faith. Right? So he said, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours. Every place that the sole of your feet can set upon by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. Now think about that. The children of Israel and all the promised land, and they needed this, they had it. They needed that. They just have to go get it. They'd have to stomp on it, walk on it, go get it.
Yeah.
So if they needed water, they go get it. If they needed to plant some garden or whatever, they go get it. If they needed to go get some deer or whatever, they go get it. So the key there was, you got to walk.
Right.
You got to walk and you got to cover that and go over it. And so this is the thing, that the walking is your faith. Mm-hmm. That if you're sitting here and God's given you everything, you got the experience in you to do whatever you need to do. See? But you gotta have something to release that, and that releasing would be like walking. You got to walk it over and get what God gives you. Then that faith, when it releases, you can have what He's led you to believe.
Yeah.
So it becomes real important now to us as Christians. That what we want to do is stay in the presence of God and stay in fellowship with God and constantly look to Him to say, Heavenly Father, what would you give me to conquer today? Mm-hmm. What would you release in me? Because you live in me, you're omnipotent, and I can do these things because we've done seen it here in the Scriptures, and we hear Brother Branham bringing it out in detail. I can do this, but it's by faith. And so we just stay before Him looking how we can go out and possess more of the land that He's giving us. But He's got to let that faith rise up. And so we constantly stay before him, looking to him for what he's going to lead us to believe.
Right.
Looking to him to say, give me faith to do what you need done today, God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. So that's the way it works. So he says, it's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you. It's yours. You possess it. If. Right? If you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it.
Yeah.
So God's already given you everything you'll ever need. It's right. Laying there in residence. It's done. Is what I said at the beginning. What he sent you for, he's equipped you. He's given you the gifts. He's given you the desire. It's all there. But there's one thing. It's just that key that unlocks it. And so if we can just find that key, and that key is faith. But if we can just find that key. So you say, well, I have a burden about certain things. Then get before God and keep before him for the key. For him to drop that into your heart. And when that happens, you know he's giving it to you. It's yours. But I want you to thoroughly understand what we're talking about here. It's not like it's off somewhere out there. And somehow or another, we believe, and it comes roaring from heaven and does. No, it's in you. It's in you. It's always in you. I'm going to continue the reading so you know Brother Branham said this. It's always in you. So if you can find the key of the law of faith that opens it to you. You see what I mean? That power is controlled by, if you're a son of God or a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time, but your faith gets away from you. Think about it. You got it with you.
Yeah.
Rapture's in you. Now I'm speaking to believers, to those who know that they've got God in them.
Yeah.
It's with you. It never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
But your faith gets away from it. In other words, the reality that we walk in, sometimes, you know, when it's the way it is, then we're in heavenly places, and it's just an ever-present reality around us, and it's like a supernatural environment. We're walking in the presence of God, and faith is rich, and you can have all kinds of things going on, but our faith, our walk with God, I'll put it that way, gets away from this reality of what's in us and what we can have all the time if the faith is there to release it.
Yeah.
Our faith gets away from it. What gets our faith away from this reality? Walking in this world. Walking in the things of this world, that's what does it. It gets away our faith away from it. But your faith gets away from it. But it's still there. Hallelujah. And when you are saved, God gives you faith to rise from the muck of the earth. Your faith overcomes the things of the world. What is your faith? Your faith is the act that God has did in you to make you a son of God. You quit your lying. You quit your stealing. You quit your drinking because your faith rises up above it. Amen. And if you don't do it, then you don't have any faith. And by faith you are saved through grace. And as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells the power to make heaven and earth. And God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. I'm going to read that again because I got kind of tripped up there. As much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have. Because in you dwells that power to make heaven and earth. God dwells in you, and you are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Right?
Yeah.
It's in you.
That's right.
What? Creative power is in you. I'm titling this, Go Create Your World.
Yeah.
You've got it. Because we done see right there. God sent you forth, and this is what you're here to be like him.
Yeah.
You know, Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Think about that. And Paul is saying, now you arm yourself with this same thought. You need to walk up and down the streets and down the hallways of where you work, and you need to have this thought in your mind. That I'm weak, I'm equal with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And don't you worry about it one bit. Don't you think that you're doing God injustice. Don't you think you're robbing God in any way. You're equal with Jesus Christ. And in you is the power to create if God will give you the faith to believe it.
That's right.
Right? Now he's giving you the faith, but that key of unlocking it, see? And you're not going to be hearing and getting that key and unlocking those things if you're off over here just not paying attention to God, not walking with God. But if you are walking with Him, you're sensitive to that. And to me, it's more of a reality. You're walking closer to these things. You can hear the voice of God easier. Faith can be released. More things can happen. Jesus Christ will be glorified more. Right?
Yeah.
And so, we're not to think it robbery. We should say, I'm equal with Jesus Christ. And He's not going to get offended. You know, people, you say, if you said that around people, you say, I'm equal with Jesus Christ, they would absolutely be ready to stone you probably.
Yeah.
If they thought you really believed it. They'd sure enough persecute you. And you could say that and probably the whole world would be offended. But the Lord's not offended for you to say that. Because if He would be offended for you to say that, now I'm talking about in the right frame of mind, if you said that and He was offended, then He'd have to go back and He'd have to correct Paul and say, Paul, why did you say that? Why did you tell them people to have that same mind in them that I had? You see what I'm saying? And He's not going to do that because it's right, it's correct. And for Brother Branham to come along and say something different than that would mean that he wasn't the prophet that was to come who was going to take what Paul had laid, the Alpha, and express it in Omega. So see, Brother Branham had to come along and say the same thing. And you don't hear Billy Graham talking about this. You don't hear Oral Roberts talking about this or these other guys when they were here. You don't hear them saying it like this. They might tell you you got faith and blabbing and grabbing, that kind of stuff. But we're talking about a channel that's instructing the bride of Christ to tell you that you are Mrs. Jesus Christ. You're one with Him. You are Christ. You're equal with Him. And you arm yourself with this understanding that wherever you go, I am equal with Him. I am equal with Jesus Christ, and I'm not robbing Him. And He's happy that I realize I am. And He's happy for me to walk in such a way that no matter what comes before me, I am ready to use that power of that gift of the omnipotent God that's in me. I'm ready at any moment should He tell me, release it.
Yeah.
I'm ready. This is what the bride's coming to. We're coming to that place where the manifestation of the sons of God, not just one, but many brethren,
that's right,
to be conformed to that image. And He's put in the church the fivefold ministry until we come to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting close to it. You can tell we're getting close to it just simply because of how the Word speaks these things and is revealing these things and how it's all becoming, rounding up into the bride, how she's catching these things. So you know that. So as much as your faith will be released, that's how much power you can have because it dwells in you to the power to make heaven and earth, and God dwells in you and your sons and daughters of God. Remember, there's a humility that goes with that. Thought it not robbery to be with God, but humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient even to the death of the cross. In other words, he became obedient to everything all the way to the end. Even if him being obedient to his Father took him to the cross, he was obedient to it. So we become obedient to the Word that no matter what the Word says, no matter what it is, we're obedient to it in humility. So, we are creators. We are Messiahs. As we know that we, under our messenger, final voice and final age, right?
Right.
So we are lights. As long as we're in the presence of that great light.
Yeah.
In other words, Him reflecting to us, through us.
Right.
We're not creators in ourselves, but we're created because he called us to be associated with him, and for him to express himself through us, we become that because he become one with us. So it's not in ourselves, but it's in the gift of God that he's given us. I think you understand that. So we have this within us, but we get sidetracked. And so I said a while ago that, you know, the world, the cosmos, this world is designed to make you not be aware, to keep you from walking in that electrified environment. How many's ever been in camp meetings, big meetings, where you just felt like your body would change right there while he was preaching?
Yeah.
I've been in them.
Yeah.
Just that environment, just so real right there, just so present. You could just feel like you could just move right into it. Right? And then you leave that, and you leave that environment, you come back, and you're on work on Monday, and you feel like everything except what you felt in that electrifying environment of revelation. That's what I'm talking about. This world's designed to pull you down from living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Pull you down so that you're weighed down by the things of the world and all the troubles and cares of life or whatever you're having to deal with in the home or at the job or whatever. But if you fight that fight and try to stay up there present in that realm where those things can come forth whenever God wants them to. And so we get distracted because the world is designed to make you not be aware of that potential. Satan doesn't want you to know that you've got that in you. He doesn't want that to be a reality. The world is designed to make you the tail and not the head. The cosmos is designed to take what gifts you do have and make you use them as a slave under a system that's run by Satan. Where God has gifted you and talented you to put you out here making converts to Christ and expressing the kingdom of God. And he's read there what the kingdom, what Messiah is, anointed ones. So we're Messiahs. We're anointed to carry out a kingdom expressed in this world. So the world wants to take that away from you. The world, just like any other tyrant, they want you to serve them. Satan, through the world system, wants you to serve him and not Jesus Christ. So he gets in everything, and everything's against you except the gospel. Right? Except the gospel. Which is just another form of what it was so many times in the Old Testament, where God's little people sat right here, and seemingly the whole world camped about them, ready to destroy them. And it looked like there was no hope. And God took care of the situation. Same thing. Just another expression of the same thing. Designed to make you the tail and not the head. So we are creators. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How does God do? What does he do every day? How does he work it every day? And you're like, well, Tony, I don't understand the question. Well, maybe I don't either. But God created everything, right? He created heaven and earth. He sets it all in order, and now it's operating. And I want to ask you, is God doing anything today? Is he getting involved and do something today? Sure he does. He's doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But my point is that when it's all set in order, and he's sitting here, and I'm just trying to express it in a way so you can understand what I'm trying to get at. So he's sitting here, and everything's unfolding before him in the universe, and then all of a sudden something comes up, a problem, an issue. So what happens? What does God do? He doesn't just sit there. He addresses it. When I'm at work, I have guys that work for me, and they'll run in, you know, I'll tell them, you go do this, and they'll run into a problem. And they'll come into my office and come to me and say, you know, I got this problem, and I can't really get done what you need me to do because I, and sometimes all they need is a decision for me to tell them how to do it. They may not know how to do it. Sometimes it may be that they know how to do it, but they can't because it's a conflict with something else. So they need a higher power to address the conflict or, you know, to straighten out the wrinkles or whatever. And sometimes maybe they know how to do it and it's not a conflict, but it's going to cost some money to do it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And so what do they do? What do they do when I send them forth to do what they're supposed to do and they run into a snag right there? What do? They come back to the guy that sent them in the first place.
Yeah.
They come back to the guy who sent them in the first place because when they run into troubles, he's the guy that can straighten out the problems. Right? He's the guy that can straighten out the problems. And sometimes these guys will be coming, and there'll be a guy standing at my desk, and I'll be working out issues on something like that, and one or two more will come and stand in line. What do? You do what God does. You address each one of them. You deal with each one of them. You use what you are, what power you have, what's available in you, and you let that go forth. Now let me express it like this. He sent us here to do a job, to express Him. And when we go to express Him, and we're doing what we're supposed to, and we're running this snag, and it seems like we can't do it, what do? You go back to the guy who sent you. But the guy who sent you is living in you. He's omnipotent. We just heard it. He's right there. And so you go back to Him right here inside you, and you look for a doorway, a command from Him to say, do this or do that. And this is how you'll conquer this problem. And that, when He speaks that forth, it's a faith door that opens. He opens a channel, and you address that problem through that channel. And when you get that faith door opens to you, because that releases that omnipotent God, and He comes out there and He destroys that enemy through a faith door. And you know that whenever you've got that issue before you, if faith opens up, God's given you that enemy. He's slain that enemy before you. So you just, by faith, you just go forward and you speak it. So God used His creative power to create in the first place. And I'll tell you, it's the same thing day after day. It's creative power. When issues rise up, God deals with it. When issues rise up, He deals with it. And that's the way it is with you. When issues rise up in your experience or in your home or whatever, you deal with it as an omnipotent God. Right? Not just to blab anything, but through that holy consecration with Him. When He speaks and opens that channel of faith, you speak that word. It's creative power that goes and destroys that enemy. It was creative power that come from heaven and destroyed the people when Elijah called fire out of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? It's creative power that resurrects the dead. It's creative power that will go out and save your children. It's creative power. This is one thing that we've got that Satan don't have. This is why he don't like it. He's not a creator, but God is, and now God has shared that with His children because it's an attribute of God. And so God has given it into you. You now have it, but you're still in this world that's fallen like that. And so there's this scenario of walking with Him and that faith coming forth, but you're doing the same thing day in and day out that God does. You're using the power that's in you to address the issues that come before you. Sometimes my guys will come to me with something I can't solve easily. But you're not going to find that with God, because He's omnipotent.
Right.
And He lives in you. He's not off out there somewhere that you got to just... He's right here. Right now. Right? Amen. So, what does God do every day? He creates, with His creative power, He creates solutions and defeats the devil every time. Keep saying it. Satan's not a creator, but God is. And so anytime you want to whoop the devil, you get over into the mode where it's faith. And that creative power goes forth. He loses every time.
Yeah.
He loses. And this is where God wants us to operate. This is where we're to be each day. So He creates a solution, and so do we. So we have the ability to create our future. Now think about this. I'm going to try to backtrack just a moment. I think that humanity is called to be creators. And I think when a person, you know, like my wife, she's been doing some crafts, or not crafts, but some taking some tables and stripping them down or whatever and making them look the way she wants them to look. Maybe look antique or maybe whatever. But that's something she wants to do. And I will tell you that there's a creative something in that. She's got this ability that in her vision, in her mind, to see and want something. And so she goes and she begins to do that. And as she's doing that, There are good things that are released. There are studies that show that when a person is about doing things like gardening and you know, doing stuff with their hands, where a person moves into something like a hobby or something, they move in there and they're doing those things. The studies show that releases things, and it's good things for your health. It's good mentally. Why? What am I saying? It's because you're acting out part of the Creator that you are. And I'm not talking about having a desire, having to use the spoken word. I'm just talking about you're a Creator. So what do? When God created the world, He created this condition, and now He's involved in this condition. So you create things. You know, the sisters, they will create a good meal. And they go through the work and the trial to take a vision they have, and they put it into action, and they bring forth this beautiful, delicious meal. And now that she's created that and places it there on the table, she gets to enjoy that creation of watching her children and her family and enjoy it, and she enjoys it. She's created it, and now she's living the benefits of that creation. See what I'm saying? So Brother Bam talked about you could create a world, then go live on it. So you create your future. You create the thing that you have desire of, and then you go out and you live in that. Right? You create the salvation of your children. And then you go live in it and experience it, and you love it. You're happy with it. But before it can happen, it has to be created. And it's created because the Word of God has promised it to you. Then it can be there. You see what I'm saying? And so, you know, He said you have the ability to create an environment. You know, you can fly off the handle if you want to, or you can take a different route and create a whole different environment. Like Brother Brown coming in washing dishes, changed his wife and, you know, attitude just because he was helping in the dishes or whatever. So, you know, you can see that. We're creators. We have the ability to create the right thing and then enjoy the blessing of the creating we created, whether it's an attitude or something we do with our hands or something we do in our prayer closet. You create it, and then you go live and enjoy the blessing of that creation, of that victory in your face, devil. Right. See what I mean? So we come to this hour where people can't even order their own lives anymore. I'm not talking about believers, but Satan wants the believers to be that way too. People can't even order their day anymore. They can't even structure it, or when I say structured, I mean, you know, set it in order. But even if it's order and chaos comes somehow, they don't even know how to reestablish control of their days. They just freak out. Because why? Because it's been ministered into them by the things they listen to and watch and they feed on day in and day out. And that stuff they feed on, listen, entertainment's not going to make you where you can handle your day when bad things come. Because it's not designed to do that. It's designed to tear you down and take you away from that image of Christ. But if we're in the image of Christ, we handle situations. Because a man who's in authority can handle situations. But it's somebody that's not. Somebody that's been beat down and doesn't know who they are. They're not going to address the things that come before them because they don't have that in them. But if they know who they are, they have that, then they rise up to the occasion and they address this enemy that stands before them. And if who you are is an omnipotent God living in you, then what enemy is going to come before you and keep you beat down? None. Not a one. So God creates solutions. He goes in, and we do the same thing. And we get to enjoy what we created. We have the ability from this to create our futures. You have the ability to create this next week and what you walk in. Right? You have the ability to do that. And ultimately, you have the ability someday, I'll say it this way, to create you a body. When God releases that faith, when the Word of God comes to pass and it's the timing's right, you've already got it in you, then you're going to have a body. You're going to create that body. You're going to step into it. and you're going to go enjoy that creation. Brother Bram said, if you had any part of God in you at all, you could do that, but it's governed. But one of these days, God's going to pull back that restriction and say, okay, go for it. Yeah. You don't have to worry about it. When that time comes, it'll sweep over you, and you'll know what to do. Now, I don't say that I understand all that. I'm just saying this from my point of view. When it comes time for a body change, God will know how to work. I don't know if you hear something, whatever, but it'll be something, you know, the way faith works. It'll be something Satan can't imitate and can't touch. And that's the way it'll come. And so you have that ability to decree, you know, and it's a form of sowing and reaping. You sow the right thing, you reap the benefits of it. You sow the wrong thing, you reap the benefits or the non-benefits of that. So don't let the enemy run over you anymore.
Yeah.
Don't let him run over you. Listen, somewhere along the way, we got to figure this out and say, you know what, not figure it out, but by the word of God, realize, you know what? I'm equal with Jesus Christ. I have an omnipotent God living in me, and if for some reason I have a situation and he's not releasing the faith, I'll say, then not my will, thy will be done. But don't get in a mode where every day we use a cop-out. Well, it's not his will. It's not his will. Well, it's not his will for me to be healed. I have to be sick because he wants to bear that. He wants me to bear that. You see what I'm saying? We get into a place because we're creatures just like deer. Deer will go the path of least resistance until a wolf gets after them or a sniper is trying to shoot them.
That's right.
Then they become Houdini.
Yeah.
You know what? And so we're kind of like that too. We take the path of least resistance. Well, you know, maybe that's what the Lord wants. That's the path of least resistance.
That's right.
The path that's not the least resistance is to get into your experience and your prayer with God and find out what's going on. And then in that mode, if God says, I need you to bear this, then you know you got to bear it. But we spend so much of our time just going along with, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm walking, you know, by faith or whatever you're saying by faith. But there's a supernatural channel that we can receive from God that is faith, you know, that is faith. And it'll come forth and do what he said it will do. So don't let your enemies just run over you. Order your life day in and day out. I'll say it this way, you know. So many things in the Word of God is a paradox. Like the guy that was a slave, right? The guy that was a slave, but he carried himself like a prince. It's kind of a paradox, right? He's a prince, but he's a slave. But that's kind of the way it is. We're sons and daughters of God, but yet we're in this world. But we conduct ourselves like sons and daughters of God. And sons and daughters of God know who they are and know what their potentials are, because they know who their Father is.
Amen.
We know where we come from, and since we know where we come from, we know where we're going, because none of his can be lost.
Yeah.
Amen. I am so glad for a message that is point on to tell you exactly what's committed to you.
Amen.
Exactly what belongs to you. You can have it, but now the one thing is that we got to rise up and go possess it. Go take that thing that belongs to us. Amen. Do you love it?
Amen.
I appreciate him taking a blank mind and giving me something to say to you. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and let the musicians come on up. As we get ready to bow our hearts and our heads to him and just ask, if you have a special need, you should just lift your hand to him and he can see that. We come to the close of service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it has been so good to be in your house today, to be with your people, to be gathered around your word, to hear and to know and to receive your presence and the words is committed to us in this day. It is our desire, Lord, to be faithful stewards, servants, a faithful wife, Lord, to carry out and to be what our position has called us to be, and We have a desire to do that, Lord, with all that's in us. I ask God that if any of us, Lord, which is probably in each one of us some degree in some form or fashion, Lord, if we have been distracted, if something has come along the way and caused us to not walk in the reality of this truth, Lord, that you would help us, God, that you would cause us to return back to that place, Lord, where all things are possible, and we sense that around us each day as we move about. Lord, that we would not feel aimless and just walking along, not knowing what's coming, but Lord, to walk each day with purpose in our steps, knowing that we are sent here for a supernatural reason, and that is to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. I pray, God, that you help us to understand the gifts that we have been given by you to operate in that realm. And Lord, also that you would magnify the desire in our heart to be operating in that realm and cause the world and the things that hinder to just grow dim and lose their luster. Lord, that we would become a better people for you. It's one thing we don't want to have to do, Lord, is regret. We step on the other side and say, I wished I could have done better. Lord, I know we all can say that, but I pray, God, that in the days ahead, you'll make us more fit, Lord, to stand and proclaim your gospel. Ask for your blessings upon each one. And Lord, as we go throughout this day, I pray for your blessings and protection upon each person. Lord, in the activities that will be done in safety and in godly fellowship and in your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and sing worship for just a moment.
How great is our God!